This is the Monday Morning Zine. I'm Jeff Pope. Preparing for wildfires is a critical part of owning property in the Four Corners area. And on the Zine this morning, we're joined by Rebecca Samulski, who is the Montezuma Chapter Coordinator of FireWise. Rebecca, welcome to the program. Nice to have you here today.
Thanks, Jeff.
Good morning. We're going to talk about wildfire and wildfire prevention. Let's start, I guess, with what FireWise is, what it does, and when you're active.
I've been awfully busy lately for
Have you?
The beginning of March. But FireWise of Southwest Colorado is a grassroots nonprofit organization that's about 11 years old this year that stretches. We go all the way over to Pagosa Springs and up into Dolores County. And I'm the chapter coordinator over here in Montezuma County and do some outreach to Dolores County as well. And my role is in helping homeowners and residents get more prepared for wildfire, helping them explore their role in preparing for wildfires, and giving them the education and the tools that they need to be more prepared. So I do a lot of education stuff.
Do you do it one-on-one, seminars, all the above?
All of the above. One of our key programs is our Neighborhood Ambassador Program. And that program takes my time and leverages it to find other people in high-risk communities who are interested in wildfire and interested in addressing the problem in their neighborhoods, since we know that fires don't stop at our property lines. And then they become I'm their cheerleader, and they're their cheerleader in their neighborhood to get their neighbors involved. And they plan projects, and they go after grants, and they spread educational materials on the latest stuff to their neighbors.
Almost an organizing job.
It is. It's very much a volunteer coordinating job.
Yeah. If you've just joined us, this is the Morning Zine. Jeff Pope here with Rebecca Samulski. She's the FireWise chapter coordinator here in the Montezuma chapter. FireWise covers Southwest Colorado, and they do advocacy to coordinate education on being aware of wildfire and its and how to mitigate it. There are some seminars coming up this week at the Ag Expo that you guys will be putting on for people to plug into. And as we talk about that, let's just drop into what are the seminars and the subject matter and when and where.
Well, I've got there'll be five different seminars, but they're two different topics.
Okay.
So Thursday and Friday morning, I think it's one of the first seminars of the day, 9 to 9:45, we're going to be having an agricultural and / burning wisdom session. And that came out of this, you know, a lot of our fires that get going here are started by people. There are fires that get out of hand from somebody who starts with a prescribed burn. And maybe it's a couple days later when the coals pick up and blow away, or there just wasn't a good enough line around it, or they weren't expecting the wind to pick up the way that it did. So that'll kind of help people who are new to wanting to do burning, as well as people who have been maybe doing it for a long time who want some other ideas or want to know the specifics of what their liability might be, or what phone number they should be calling these days before they do their burns. So we're going to cover that on Thursday and Friday mornings at 9 to 9:45. And I have the regional manager for the Division of Fire Prevention and Control. They've switched this up on us recently. It's the Division of Fire Prevention and Control that he's going to come over and do a big part of that session along with our deputy emergency manager, Paul Haller.
What's the other subject matter?
And then the other subject, which is going to be in the afternoons at different times, is going to be living with wildfire. And that's going to be more of a general session for people who just want to learn more about what the resources, more than what you're going to get out of me this morning, about what the resources are locally available to help you prepare for wildfire, what FireWise has to offer, and what the different elements of living with wildfire are that you can address, from access and defensible space to being prepared to evacuate. So just some general tips on that and more information there.
All right, let's talk old-timers and newcomers. What are the the typical, without naming names, what are the typical myths that someone who's lived in the area their whole lives and has been burning, what do they carry, or you know, that maybe a bad habit passed down from granddad, and then for somebody new coming in the area, what would be a typical misconception as they purchase land and think about?
Well, I think for the burning, for local people that burn, I don't know that there's really any major misconceptions. I think that we live in a very different environment than maybe what they've been used to. There were several prescribed burns here that got beyond the capacity of the people who were burning them in January here this year. That's something that we never would have seen here even a decade ago. Or 15 or 20 years ago. That was very rare. This is a very new thing to have the fire departments running out on brush calls in January and February. So that's definitely changed the environment that we're doing these burns in. As far as people who are moving into the area, a lot of the ambassadors that I get tend to come from an area that was fire prone before. We'll get somebody who moved here 5 years ago from California, and they were very aware from Southern California of the wildfire risks there. And so they come here and they realize that they're moving into another fire prone ecosystem. On the other hand, when you get people who are moving in from an area from a city somewhere out east, they don't necessarily recognize that this forest isn't the way that it was historically as far as wildfires, and the way that we've been suppressing wildfires and the way that wildfires have changed in this ecosystem. They're just not as familiar with this ecosystem, and they have to kind of learn it from scratch that, yes, you did move into a fire-prone ecosystem, and here are the things that we can do to live with that fire-prone ecosystem better.
If you've just joined us, this is the Morning Zine. I'm Jeff Pope here with Rebecca Samulski. Rebecca is the, Montezuma Chapter Coordinator, right? I can't read my handwriting, of FireWise. And they're doing 5 seminars at Ag Expo, 2 of them on Thursday and Friday morning. I think you said 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
And then the other 3 will be in the afternoon. The 3 general information ones are in the afternoon during Ag Expo, and the 2 in the morning are really more focused on what to do with your agricultural slash and how to make sure you're creating a safe zone. So you're on the inside, but on the outside, we in the media aren't really seeing a whole lot about these. You said there was 3 fires that got a little bit out of the hand of the producer, of the landowner, just in January. And so that doesn't get talked about a lot, and I don't think a lot of people know that. We'll see. There's one burning right now on Highway 145 here in Montezuma County. Not out of hand, but it gives me pause to think, the firefighters are getting called out, mostly volunteer firefighters who are getting called out on these things in a time of year when they normally would not have to think about that.
Yeah, and you have to start thinking about the other side of having warm enough gear to go out and fight wildland fire now, which is a totally different thing, you know, if you have to be out there later. But usually, I mean, this time of year, we're not going to get those mega fires that were on the show just a few minutes ago. That's the temperatures are too cold, the relative humidity is too high to be getting fires that are really going to take off. But they still are torching pinyon juniper trees in January. And I'm not totally sure why that is, that we're not hearing about all of that on here. It may be because the fire chiefs don't bring on their wildland fire education position till later in the year, and that gives a little bit more PR out there. And because they're volunteer and it's very difficult for them to, you know, we don't know about a 50th of the calls that they go on.
I'm sure, right. Yeah, and so the awareness is that this is happening across the region, not just in Colorado, but certainly in the other states that adjoin the KSJD listening area. It's something to be aware of. We'll be back after this short break. I'm Jeff Pope here with Rebecca Samulski. She's with FireWise, the Montezuma chapter coordinator of it. And stay with us. We're back. This is the Morning Zine. I'm Jeff Pope here with Rebecca Samulski. She is the coordinator for the Montezuma chapter of FireWise. FireWise is holding 5 seminars at the Ag Expo this year, 2 at 9 o'clock on Thursday and Friday, focused on what to do with your agricultural and just, I guess, your slash, whether you're growing or not growing on your land, and how to be safe with that, and 3 other sessions in the afternoons that will be more of a general information about your risk and mitigation. You said something earlier about the risk of a... I guess your liability if you let a fire go and it goes and it damages someone else's property. I'm liable if that happens?
Yeah, you can be held liable if that happens. And we're actually seeing a shift right now toward a lot more local and personal responsibility for fires that get out of hand. I was at the annual operating plan meeting last week, and one of the big things that the feds requires, if there's a fire that gets onto federal land at all, that the ignition point of that fire be preserved as a for investigation. So and that they will go after any human caused fire, that they will pursue it to try and recover the cost of suppressing the wildfires,
even if the person took all sorts of mitigation efforts and did the very best they could. They could still be held liable under this federal provision if you adjoin federal land.
Yeah, you could be, definitely. It doesn't mean that people will be all the time, and most people don't have the capacity to pay for fighting a wildfire, especially if it gets to a very big size. But we're also seeing that with the utility industry. There have been quite a few utility companies just within the last year that their power line fell onto and started a fire, that they're getting these millions of dollar bills coming back to a utility. And you can only imagine what that would do to our electric co-ops around here. And also to counties. Counties have seen the cost. The Summit County got a pretty big bill for the West Fork Complex fire. So the shift in responsibility as far as paying for suppression is shifting more locally. And I think that's going to also change the prevention preparedness side to being one that's a lot more important and relevant.
It's almost like it's a tax to live in the dry, high West. If you've got land and you potentially need, I mean, you need to burn, right? If you have ag land or things get overgrown, you're smiling. Or do you not need to burn?
Sometimes you do. Burning can be a really good way to get rid of extra fuel. to take care of the stuff from last year that's dried out, or to take care of the extra little slash. And I do know people that burn in their wood stoves, and they go all the way down to the smallest stuff that they use for the kindling, and they use it all. But that's pretty far and few in between. Most people cut the big chunks and then leave the little stuff in piles in hopes that someday they'll burn it, or they chip it, or they haul it off. And so there's definitely a need there and a gap that FireWise is tried to fill, like with our chipper rebates last year, which we hope to have again this year, to give people alternatives to burning, because not everybody's comfortable burning. But it's just another element, the liability is just another element that people should be aware of, and one more reason to be extra careful, as if, you know, possibly burning down yours or your neighbor's house isn't important enough. It's an extra reason for why you should take extra precautions if you are going to burn, and make sure that you're doing it at the right time, and that you're putting your fires all the way out, and that you have lines around your fire before you ever get started.
How do you know fire's all the way out?
You feel it. With the back of your hand, you put your hand down there by the coals, and if you can feel any warmth coming off of it, it's not out yet. There's some great Smokey Bear commercials with them doing that.
Right, like I almost see you in a Smokey Bear costume, right? And this winter, the talk is, of course, that we have a pretty good snowpack, and so agricultural producers are feeling good. The irrigation seems like, I mean, crossing our fingers, that might be okay, and there's a lot of snow up high, but down here, not so much. Is there concern from local fire officials that the lower elevations have got a higher danger than maybe last year, or where are we?
Yeah, going into last year was pretty bad, but I don't think we're going to be a whole lot better off this year. You're exactly right. There's been a lot of talk lately and stories in the news around here that we're doing good on our snowpack and everything's dandy. But if you live in the lower elevations, you know that it's still been a very dry winter. The other thing that we have this year that's a little bit different than last year is that we did have that fall rain. And so we have more, a little bit higher fine fuels load from last year that's dried out.
What's a fine fuel load?
The grass and the small stuff that can ignite very quickly and burn very quickly.
So that popped up at the end of last year, and it's dry on a lot of land that hasn't been because of the late fall rain.
That's right. Every year, that's one of the factors looking at fire risk that you always look at besides the drought conditions. If it's dry and warm and there's nothing on the ground, that doesn't really matter because you got to have that fuel there to burn. So this year we have a little bit more of that fuel holding over from our fall storms.
So a lot of people walk around with rose-colored glasses and they, you know, see the world in a certain way. You have a different set of eyeglasses. You drive around and you see potential for mitigation, potential for fire everywhere, don't you?
Yeah, it's kind of dangerous. It's getting dangerous for me driving out there. There's so many pockets of, oh, look at that great mitigation, and then, wow, we need to do something here. Yeah, I do. And if you've got those colored glasses on, too, you can really see the health of the forest and or lack thereof. And if you've watched it over the last decade, you can tell that those juniper trees are less than 100% live fuel moisture. They just look brown even when they're green without the glasses on.
Right. So as we head into the this weekend and Ag Expo and the seminars you want to that you're going to put on starting on Thursday, folks that aren't going to make it, what's the one message you want to get out there around FireWise and fire mitigation and wildfire prevention?
It's everybody's responsibility to prepare for wildfire. Even if you don't live in a high-risk, what I would consider a high-risk neighborhood in Southwest Colorado, you probably still have a role to play. Whether you're a builder who's building those homes out there, or a landscaper who's selling the plants that maybe shouldn't be putting creeping junipers next to a house. So this is a community issue. And if you do live in one of those high-risk areas and can't get out to the Ag Expo, just see me. I'm available anytime for people to contact MontezumaFireWise@gmail.com. And happy to talk with you about your issues on your land and help you get prepared for wildfire.
That's MontezumaFireWise@gmail.com. Rebecca Samulski has joined us this morning. She is the FireWise coordinator for the Montezuma chapter of FireWise. There'll be five seminars at Ag Expo this week, two on Friday morning, dealing with what to do with your slash, how to make sure that you are burning effectively, and then a couple of general three general seminars in the afternoons during Ag Expo.
2:00 Thursday, 4:00 Friday, and 12:30 on Saturday.
Okay. That'll be at Ag Expo, on the Ag Expo website, I assume, as well.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Rebecca, for coming in, and good luck.
Thank you, Jeff.
That wraps up the Zine for today. Zine Today is produced by Tom Yoder, Jeff Pope, and its theme music is written and performed by Brett Peja.